Part 4, Toward Vital Work Communities, Stage 5. Chapter 11, Into Stage 5, Life is Great. Gordon Binder, former CEO of biotechnology giant Amgen, didn't know it at the time, but his company delayed publication of this book for almost 5 years. In the early 1990s, we only knew about tribal stages 1 through 4, and we had lots of examples of each. On the basis of our observations, we believe that stage 4's "we're great" language was the top of the mountain. Then, thanks to Amgen, everything turned upside down, delaying the publication of this book. The result was worth the wait. We expected Amgen to demonstrate a cultural mood of tribal pride, a hallmark of stage 4, with people congratulating one another for a job well done. Profits and revenue were up, and employees were making a lot of money off stock options. We expected a tribal vibe, not unlike the movie Rudy, with thousands of Notre Dame fans going nuts with joy over victory. We walked into Amgen in the early 1990s and asked who their competitors were. We expected Genentech, another biotechnology firm, or maybe, if people were ambitious, Pfizer, a fully integrated pharmaceutical company. It was even possible that people would be so ill-informed about the marketplace that they wouldn't know. All of those answers would be consistent with what we expected to find, and they would help to verify our hypotheses and make us happy researchers. What we heard from Amgen was very different. We heard people say, "Well, we're in competition with cancer." Our reaction was, "Huh?" No mention of a company. The same people went on to say, "Well, maybe our competitor is inflammatory disease, such as arthritis, obesity, Parkinson's." We weren't happy. In fact, our four-stage model couldn't explain anything that we were hearing. One person added, "Well, we might be in competition with untimely death, human disease. I guess we're not really targeting starvation or war." And our reaction was, "Huh?" To make our situation worse, we didn't see any evidence of tribal pride. No high fives, no "we're number one" banners, which they were in growth, although not in revenue or market capitalization. One person in engineering told us, "It's amazing. A few good experiments, and now we're sitting on billion-dollar patents. It makes me think of all the human diseases we'll beat in the next few years." His tone was what perplexed us more than his words. It wasn't pride. It was almost a whisper, said like a prayer of thanksgiving. It's a mood we came to call innocent wonderment. We had stumbled across our first example of stage 5, and it was as much a leap forward as stage 4 was from stage 3. It is, we believe, the future of business. At Amgen in the 1990s, and in most other organizations at this stage, the culture oscillated in and out of stage 5. After a burst of history-making activity, the group fell back to the "we're great" language of stage 4, assessing their performance relative to competitors. Then another market opportunity or possible discovery would come along and catapult them back into stage 5 again. If we graphed out the Amgen of the early 1990s, the culture would be like waves at the beach, the crests in stage 5 and the troughs in stage 4. Stage 5. Stage 5 accounts for just under 2% of workplace cultures. It's marked by "life is great" language, devoid of any competitor. It's not that competitors don't exist, it's that they don't matter. Values, which are important at stage 4, are vital, a word literally meaning life-giving. Without them, the tribal culture would collapse to 4 and keep falling. A noble cause, critical at stage 4, is the group's only compass at stage 5. Without another tribe to study and beat, renewing life was Amgen's only direction, and values were its only way to know who they were. At stage 4, tribes know who they are by saying we are better than and not our competitor. Since Amgen, we found dozens of organizations with stage 5 tribes. Some are for-profit companies, like Amgen. Others are not-for-profits, some local boys and girls clubs, several think tanks, and a few wildly successful technology startups. What they all have in common is tribal leadership taken to its next level, and a level of performance that makes history. Not-for-profit organizations have an advantage in seeing beyond the competition and aligning themselves around a noble cause. Minnie Watrous, CEO of Colorado Springs Special Olympics, told us, "These people," referring to the staff, "support anyone. They make me better. They elevate people within the organization and elevate the athletes. They celebrate everyone." The noble cause of the Special Olympics is creating opportunities for all athletes. They believe they are making history every time athletes compete. People who have ever been a part of a Stage 5 tribe, or even seen one at work, often describe it in the same tone of reverence and gratitude they use to tell stories about their kids. All things being equal, Stage 5 will always outperform Stage 4. At Amgen, the focus was on curing disease. Making money wasn't the goal, and rewarding investors didn't motivate this group. That said, Amgen was making money, with analysts at the time saying that the company had a license to print money. Fortune magazine picked Amgen as one of just a handful of companies that had made investors truly wealthy. The purpose of this chapter is to pass along what we know about Stage 5, how it works, and what tribal leaders can do to elevate their companies to this zone of peak performance. Graduation from Stage 4. Jim Clifton, the CEO of the Gallup organization, is a tribal leader on steroids. He told us, "Over the years, people have called Gallup a cult, our detractors, I mean, but I always considered that a great compliment." In fact, Clifton has long referred to the organization he heads as a tribe. He explains, "We have a lot of common values in our organization that remind me of a tribe." Clifton formerly ran Selection Research Inc., SRI, a marketing research company that conducted structured psychological interviews to identify individuals who would fit a designated position in an organization. The SRI brand wasn't well known, and the group searched for a way to make a global impact. It needed something more. Something more turned out to be Gallup, the organization started by Dr. George Gallup in 1935, originally called the American Institute of Public Opinion. Clifton explains, "We at SRI worked hard to acquire Gallup from the family because people latch on to symbols. When we were at SRI, we couldn't develop global pride until we had a global symbol. We don't wear it like pro teams, but here at Gallup, we wear a lot of label clothes." With the world-famous name and organization part of the tribe, everything began to change. With the resources of both SRI and Gallup now under one name, Clifton moved the organization in a new direction, establishing the Gallup Path, a model that ties individual contribution to the organization's bottom line performance. Under his tribal leadership, Clifton moved the group more toward consulting. All that work set the stage for the organization's jump to Stage 5. Clifton argues, "We developed a belief based on our research of 300,000 people that a person's strengths are at the very base of it all. We believe any individual can be extremely valuable or even has a shot at being a world leader if they will pull it off using their strengths instead of trying to become a Jack Welch or a Ted Turner." The core value we heard in his statement is potential, and everything the organization has done is based on unlocking it in individuals, clients, and even the entire world. Furthermore, the Gallup tribe has developed research and procedures to assess and develop this potential, basing such efforts on natural ability. Although Clifton had not seen this book, he already had a noble cause, a set of core values and core assets, research abilities, global brand, and research on unlocking potential. In addition, Clifton saw the value in the tribal culture. He told us, The kind of people we attract to our organization are the kind of people who are driven by mission and purpose. That sets the tribe apart. When we explained our research on tribes and the five cultures, he added, many of our activities are at stage five, but it wasn't always that way. He said, we asked the question, are we helping 6 billion people or just the best corporations in the world? The honest answer was that we were helping the best corporations and schools and universities, he told us. He went on, we weren't doing much for the 6 billion people. From our research, companies that are engrossed in warfare with a competitor don't consider questions like the one Gallup asked. They're generally focused on winning market share and new customers and thwarting the rival at the same time. At best, a low-level stage four we're great culture develops, focused on beating that competitor. Gallup had owned stage four and was ready to move on. As a result, it could recognize the insufficiency of the Stage 4 culture. In a sense, the group had a realization that is a more advanced version of the epiphany to tribal leadership, the subject of an earlier chapter. The result was a new appreciation for their ability to contribute to global concerns, an all-inclusive view. Gallup set its new noble cause as improving the well-being of our clients' organizations, and improving the lives of the 6 billion people on Earth. The group didn't let go of its competitive edge, but the drive to win lost any sense of a competitor. No one has to lose in the service of 6 billion people. One of the outcomes the organization set is a world poll, which, according to Clifton, represents 97% of the world's population. For the first time in history, the world will speak with a single voice, thanks to Gallup building on its values and strengths in research. Furthermore, the research will reveal what Clifton calls the soul of over 100 individual countries. Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman, who works with Clifton and has had a reputation for honesty, told us, "The Gallup organization is unlike anything I have seen. In some ways, the way their culture emphasizes the positive is relentless. The true positivity of their culture permeates everything." Stage 5 tribes use all the subtleties of previous chapters. What Clifton volunteered about Gallup showed all the elements: a noble cause, a set of shared values, a global brand, top talent, a highly nimble and networked tribe, and lots of behaviors, the steps people would take to conduct and popularize the world poll. His description of the company's culture included triads, and Gallup works with clients as partners. Note that once a tribe establishes stability at stage four, it can either take advantage of a market opportunity or engineer such an event, as Gallup did with its world poll, to pop into stage five. Moment of transcending stage four. Stage five tribes often describe a moment when they transcended the We're Great culture and emerged somewhere else, in a culture so different that many didn't have words to describe it. Mike Ruzioni, captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, encountered Stage 5 when his team beat the Soviet Union. His story starts with the prerequisites of Stage 4. He describes the people he played with. There were 20 players on this team, and 19 of them were captains at some time. He named the people, referring to high school or college teams. Ruzioni was a captain among captains. Despite some press to the contrary, the coach was not loved by the team. Ruzioni told us, it was always us against him. As Coach Herb Brooks used to say, there was a method to his madness, and we always tried to figure out what that method was. And when it was done, we all said, wow, he was right. He helped orchestrate it, and he helped plan. He knew the type of players we were. Ruzioni's tone toward his old coach never changed. He said, I can remember 10 years ago the phone rang, and my wife told me it was Herb, and I thought, oh my God, he's going to yell at me. I have 3 kids running around the house, and I'm worried that Herb is mad at me. It's crazy. The coach of the famous team has since died, but his method is now clear to Ruzioni. He told us, Herb didn't care if we liked him. He cared about our respecting him. We never saw Herb off the ice. He did what he did and left us alone. Off the ice, players often grumbled about his tactics, including his relentless practice sessions. The culture became stage four, we're great and Herb's not. A rare case wherein the enemy of a group is a single person. The stage was set. Players knew their roles, had the talent, and knew one another by their values, not just their abilities. They had put in the time and the effort. As with Amgen and Gallup, all the pieces were in place. The 1980 U.S. team was stable at stage four, waiting for the right opportunity to move to stage five. The team's time came in the game with the Soviets. When Herb told the team it would all come together, what they didn't realize was that he was giving them the stage and their opportunity to become the team he knew they could be. In that moment, the U.S. Olympic hockey team took a quantum leap. They jumped from a successful Stage 4 tribe and became something more, playing not against Herb or a competitor, but for something much bigger. They played for the love of sport, for themselves, and for all the old-fashioned values that had united them. It was a moment when everything came together, and the sense of wonder didn't set in until the game was over. Eruzioni told us, the countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the puck could have gone in. Everything could have changed so quickly. So then, when the buzzer sounded, his voice trailed off. We asked him about his mood at that moment. He said, the first thought I had was, wow. He said it to us in a whisper, very much like the people at Amgen had in describing clinical breakthroughs. His tone conveyed the sense that people had done the impossible. It wasn't about beating the Russians, stage four. It was about doing what people thought could not be done, stage five. The next scene was not tribal pride, but innocent wonderment overwhelmed with gratitude. Eruzioni told us, we went back to the locker room, and guys were hugging and crying. We just couldn't believe it. In that game, the group transcended its self-imposed barriers and emerged as a fully functional Stage 5 tribe, guided only by its values and its noble cause. In doing so, it shocked everyone, even itself. The word miracle has become associated with the 1980 victory. It's also a word we heard again and again from organizations that were operating with a Stage 5 culture. We interviewed one corporate team that had been contacted by the White House to join a summit with then-President Bill Clinton. They told us, it was a miracle, someone like us meeting a U.S. president. We heard the word at Amgen in reference to their clinical breakthroughs and to their always seeming to be one step ahead of the competition. Our view is that the emergence of Stage 5 feels so unfamiliar to most of us that we go to religious or spiritual language in describing it. Wow was what we heard when we talked with people who were part of the Apollo missions in the 1960s, leading to the first manned mission to the moon. The mood was the same, despite the tribe members' scientific orientation and the years of preparation. We heard from people now long retired, we couldn't believe it. And of course, wow. At this point, groups often stop us. What if it's not real? People ask. In the early 2000s, we collected data from other Stage 5 organizations, dot-coms, many of which don't exist anymore. At the time, principals said how they were changing the business model of retailing and inventing a new world of business service. As we pointed out in other chapters, culture and strategic performance move together. When these companies didn't have the follow-through, their cultures degraded one stage at a time. At stage four, people said, we're better than our competition because we have enough cash to last 9 months and they'll be out of business in 6. At stage three, the same people said, I still have my job, but I'm sorry you lost yours. At two, people said, I have no job and no prospects and I don't know what to do. Some went all the way to stage one and committed suicide, the ultimate tragic act of life sucks. A tribe should attempt a Stage 5 outcome, like the Gallup World Poll, only if it's stable at stage 4 and has the business results to keep it there. Resonant values. A tribe operating at stage 5 acts like a magnet for other groups that can help in their pursuit of its noble cause. Amgen and Gallup are both famous for their tendency to partner with organizations and individuals, many of whom do not share their values. At the same time, both organizations are famous for their commitment to shared values. Is there a conflict? No. At stage 3, the focus is my values. At 4, it's our values. At 5, it's global or resonant values. So the only important factor is that values can work together. IDEO values collaboration and what David Kelly calls child's mind. Apple values elegant design. Amgen values, above all, being ethical. These values, while not the same, resonate with one another, so the organizations could work together. None would partner with a corrupt government or with organizations run by what Gordon Binder calls crooks. A Stage 5 tribe can work with any group that has a commitment to values that are core and that apply to everyone, even if those values are different from its own. At Stage 5, these three organizations could network together in the service of a noble cause that is bigger than what any company can pursue alone. The future of business. These examples of Stage 5 are the highest tribal cultures we have ever seen. However, it is our hope and belief, based on the extrapolation of our research and the opinions of experts, that there is a way to stabilize a tribe at Stage 5. Just as few people would have bet on the people, teams, and organizations in this chapter, the tribal leaders involved defied what others and they thought was achievable. As the purpose of this book is to report on our research, we've made our speculative thoughts about what stable Stage 5 would look like available on our website, www.triballeadership.net. In short, we're looking for the emergence of stable Stage 5 tribes, groups that continue for years without falling back to Stage 4. Simply put, the future of business is Stage 5, either frequent leaps into it from Stage 4, as several companies in this study are doing, or breaking new ground by finding stability at this level. Our company and our professional lives are dedicated to giving everyone the opportunity to be part of a Stage 5 tribe. We hope that as you do, you'll let us know so we can spread the wealth of your discoveries. You can reach us at www.triballeadership.net. On behalf of my co-authors, John King and Haley Fisher Wright, we hope you have enjoyed listening to Tribal Leadership.
To read the unabridged version, you can buy the hard copy published by HarperCollins from Amazon.com. This audiobook was produced by Robbie Richman and was recorded at Stung Studios in Santa Monica, California. Tribal Leadership and this audiobook are copyright 2008 by Dave Logan and John King. This audiobook may be redistributed on a non-commercial basis, provided it is distributed in its entirety, including this copyright notice and all credits. You may not alter, transform, or build upon this work without the express written permission of the copyright holder. All other rights reserved.